Right, so for the first time in my life, I've just walked out of a personal development seminar. You might be thinking, what the hell? But you're a total personal development junkie, Max. Why on earth would you do that? Well, I walked away towards the end of the first day. It was the Power to Achieve seminar by Andy Harrington. I'm not saying it's a bad seminar, but I am saying that for me, I didn't think it was the right choice to stay there for the remaining 2 days that I'm now missing out on as we speak. Don't get me wrong, I got a lot of value out of this seminar. For example, we talked about coping mechanisms and how we all unconsciously go to our coping mechanisms instead of doing what we actually need to do. And personally, I think I definitely have addictions to food and coffee, believe it or not. That's probably one reason I work out so much. And it helped me see those in a new light. And I don't doubt at all that if I'd stayed there longer, I would have got plenty more value out of it if I'd stayed the extra 2 days. Who knows what I'm missing right now? I guess I'll never know. So, why on earth did I leave? Well, I asked myself a question. I said, as much as I am getting value from this seminar, does it exceed the value of spending my time elsewhere? And based on what I saw, I thought it probably would not. You don't always know for certain that the decision you've made is for the best, but being in business requires you to make such judgment calls. I would say that what made my decision a little easier was a sales pitch that was riddled with red flags by a property mentor called Paul Preston. So, yeah, Paul, I'm calling you out here. He began by showing us a graph of property prices over the last 20 years and the undeniable meteoric rise in property prices that we've all seen, that millennials like me are jealous of, our parents took good advantage of, generally speaking. But he showed us this graph as if to imply that now is a good time to buy property, or at least get into property. And that wasn't all. I mean, later on, he went on to Virtue Signal with a slide of all the charities he donates to and asking us to donate to said charities when we, and I quote, make our first 100K. Now, finally, this is for me generally a deal breaker, and that was when he landed what I would call the false dichotomy close. You see this very often. I've talked about this before, trying to raise your awareness of these kinds of tactics. And this is, do you want to buy my course, or do you want to be in the 99% who don't succeed? Now, these aren't particularly intelligent sales tactics, right? It's not exactly difficult to pinpoint why such a statement like this is fallacious. I mean, I would go so far as to say that if this kind of emotional manipulation is still effective on you in 2019, then you are carrying a serious handicap in business. Now, I don't know why he would want to attract the kind of person who would fall for such things. I'm not saying that the course is bad. I'm not saying that the course isn't right for some people. What I am saying is that if that is the reason you've made a decision, it somewhat puts you at a disadvantage, and it also may say a thing or two about the likelihood of that course delivering on its promises. Now, despite what your hijacked limbic system may be telling you here, turning down an offer like this does not make you a bad business person. If done for the right reasons, it makes you a good business person. And here's why. What makes you a good business person is knowing why you make your decisions and doing so consciously, in spite of what your emotions may be telling you, not because of. What makes you a good business person is having certainty about your direction and making an informed judgment on whether the opportunities presented to you are actually aligned to that. What makes you a good business person is being able to pivot based on new information despite sunk costs and emotional investments. Because if merely following others' recommendations is your go-to strategy, then this puts you in the 99% by default, using his nomenclature here, 99%, 1%. Being in the 1% requires you to not do what others expect of you. You cannot be led into the 1%. That's a paradox, it's a contradiction in terms. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm a massive proponent for taking responsibility for your own personal development, which is precisely why I want to convey this lesson. Don't be a junkie. Do not learn blindly. Don't use personal development as just another coping mechanism in avoiding doing what you really need to do. There is such a thing as being too open. Most people tend to veer too far one way or the other, either towards a naive willingness, leaving them brazenly exposed to the storms of life, as Andy Harrington described it, or on the other hand, towards unhealthy skepticism, closing them off to real opportunity and genuine love and connection. How much skepticism is the right amount? If only there was a simple answer to this conundrum. The 1% realize that there aren't any hard and fast rules to navigating this. It is a fine balance that can only come from personal experience and reflection. And that's precisely what makes them the 1% and what makes personal growth so rewarding. However, if there is one hard and fast rule I personally follow, it's this. I draw the line at deception. I've been burnt enough times by manipulators in both my business and personal life to tell you this. Someone who is dishonest once will be dishonest twice. Someone who is dishonest twice will be dishonest three times, and someone who is dishonest three times will be dishonest four times, ad infinitum. Do not fucking ignore red flags. So at this point in the seminar, I made the business decision to walk away, and although one nice reminder did stick with me, and that is this. Successful people create more than they consume. Okay, I thought, I'll spend the weekend doing that instead.